Because you are a good God. You are an excellent God. You are worthy of all worship. And you are worthy of all glory. Lord, we magnify you. And we give you all the praise. If not for you, where will we be, Lord? If not because you came. We were heading down the road of destruction. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are the answer. You are the answer to reconcile us back to God. You took on the honor. Preceded by indignity and suffering in the hands of man. Thank you, Jesus, for that which you have accomplished for us to bring us to your Father, that we can be called the sons and the daughters of the Most High today. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We appreciate you. We say thank you so much for that which you have done. All we can do is to thank you. We cannot repay you. We bless your name, O Lord. That same mind, the mind that made you to surrender everything in order to gain us, Lord, we pray that we'll have that same mind with you in the mighty name of Jesus. The essence of your coming, the essence of your leaving your throne to come here on earth will not be lost on any of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please be seated and God bless you. Praise the Lord. Look, I want to believe that God will have me to share with you something about the mind of Jesus. Something about the mind of Jesus that led Jesus to do what he did for you and I. And so, as we celebrate Christmas, let's remember that he is the reason for the season. You will agree with me that many biblical things have been hijacked by the world and used to the advantage of the world when it pleases them. When it doesn't please them, they try to abolish it. They will tell us not to teach our children the Bible in schools when it pleases them. They will tell us not to pray in schools when it pleases them. But the ones that will bring commercial values, they will promote it and take our attention away from the essence. Let me tell you something. You need to be wise to the enemy. It's not just starting. If you know the history of church, if you've read a bit about the history of church, you will realize that the enemy is very, very wise. When the Romans started to rule over the Israelites, they were actually in opposition to Christianity. And you know something about our faith is that the more you oppose it, the more you persecute it, the bigger it becomes. So when they realized what was going on, what did they do? They adopted it as a state religion and took control of it. So it's not new. It's always been like that. That the world takes that which they think will be an advantage to them and take our attention away from the real reason, which is Jesus. Thank God that we know why we are celebrating today. I'm going to be talking to us about the mind of Jesus, of the mind of Christ. So as we say Merry Christmas to each other, we'll have a Merry Christmas with a reflection. Let's look at the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Remember, I promise us that we are going to leave before 12:30. I don't know about you. The turkey we cooked is, you know, it's simmering at home now, just waiting for us to come. And I know we've got different kind of things that we have prepared at home that we're going home to meet. So I'm not going to keep you too long and allow you to continue to salivate. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. It said, now the birth of Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her first son, and he called his name Jesus. It's so wonderful and a privilege to be associated with Jesus. The angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and then to Joseph and instructed them to call the child Jesus. Jesus is a derivative of Yehoshua, which is also interpreted as Joshua. Yehoshua. It means Savior. It means God who is salvation. God who is salvation. If we go by what we know, looking at the name of Jesus, God who is salvation, that is God who is our salvation, is the same God who has come to save man. And the primary driving force for God, that is in the mind and the heart of God and Christ, is his love for us. When we go back to the first thing we used to know, which is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved is an expression of the extent, is an expression of how big, how deep, how wide, and how high the love of God is for you and I. That he gave his only Son. In other words, that he gave himself to us, or in our stead, in order to reconcile us back to himself. In John chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible also says that God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. To commend means like allocated his love towards us. And we also know that the Bible tells us that God himself is his love. So in other words, God gave himself to us even while we were yet sinners. One thing about Christ's love is that it's an active love. The love of Christ is what? Is an active love. You know when something, you know when something is active, or what it means for something to be active. It means that it does not keep still, isn't it? It means it's always in motion. It means it's always doing. It means it's not resting. It's always active. And this active love is always seeking expression because it's active. If God is love and all of us are embedded in him, God allows his nature to flow from himself to us. And we will see as we go on. I told her that the love of Christ is active and is always seeking expression. That is why Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man hears and opens the door of his heart, I will do what? I will come in and I will sup with him. So the love of Christ is not passive. It's always knocking. It's always seeking. It's always looking for. He's always redeeming. He's always delivering. He's always saving. He's always sanctifying. He's always blessing. It's never sitting still. He's always agitated. He's always on the move. The love of Christ. He's not there just there for being there sake. No, it is there to be tapped into. Because it's seeking expression. It's looking for vessels. He said, I stand at the door. It also indicates the persistence of God. Behold, I do what? I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and he's still knocking. He's not only knocking in the hearts of people who don't believe yet. It also knocks in our hearts too, the believers. How do I know this? Because it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In other words, for God to be able to lead us, he has to be in partnership with us. And that means we are in partnership with the Spirit of God that leads us. And that is why each time we are not in line with him, the Spirit of God knocks. I'm still here. That is not the way I ask you to do it. And then suddenly you realize, say, Father, just forgive me. Thank you for that which you have done. Oh, I appreciate you afresh. Thank you. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, thank you. You are still here. You know, I don't want to miss you. Please stay. It talks about the persistence of the love of God. But the thing about the love of God is that it can only be expressed where the nature of God or the nature of Christ lives. In other words, the love of Christ diffuses into clones of Christ. Am I right? It diffuses into people who have been cloned of Jesus Christ. There are different kinds of love in the world. But the love of Christ is different. It's a special kind of love that flows into the people that are called by the name of Jesus. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So in other words, the love of Christ has diffused into us. By reason of who? By reason of the Holy Ghost. Another version says, it said, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. So it just flows. Into our lives. But you know something? I've told us that the love of Christ is very active. It flows into people who are Christ-like. There's one snag somewhere. People who have altered DNA, spiritual DNA, receives his love. And that was what happened in the Garden of Eden. As soon as sin came, it altered man's spiritual DNA. So that the nature of man became altered. He was no longer in sync and in unison with the nature of God. You may wonder how this is possible. That human DNA could be altered that way. Spiritual DNA could be altered that way. In fact, don't we know right now that the kind of relationship we used to think exists between genes and the environment is not, what we used to know is now different from what we know. we actually know now that the genes are not completely independent of the environment. That environmental factors eventually affect our gene. Look, it's not a long-term thing. We actually know that even within short space of time, that environmental factors do have effect. Because what are we talking about? When we talk about gene expression, we are talking about protein synthesis, which changes with the environment. It may take longer to be fully expressed, but we know that where we are, the things we do eventually, diet and everything, that they are closely interwoven. And so when man found himself in that position, it basically altered who man is. And so we resist him through ignorance, through different expectations. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. I want to read from Amplified Version. As the love of Christ tried to flow, there were barriers. Hebrews 12, verse 3 says, just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. Another version actually talks about contradictions. That is the life of an altered DNA. When we live outside Christ, we may say he's Lord, but when we don't allow an expression of his own gene in us, we will live a life of contradictions. What we say and live will be different from each other. What we hope for and what we believe will be different, or what we express as our belief will be different. But the Bible makes us to understand that Christ endured contradiction. He endured opposition. That as the love of Christ tried to move and express itself, there's always an opposing force inherent in man that try to stop the flow of the expression of the Holy Spirit in us that has diffused into us. And I want to tell you, because Jesus has come, he will give you victory today in Jesus' name. And to express this love against resistance, there are certain characteristics in the mind of Christ. There are certain things in the mind of Christ that allows the mind of Christ to be expressed, that allows the love of Christ to flow forth from him. We are going to quickly look at some of these things that allows the flow of that nature of Christ, which is love. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 9. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 9. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. That is the same mind that was in Jesus. Let it be in you. The first thing is this: if it's not possible, the Bible will not admonish us to allow our mind to be transformed into the mind of Christ. Go back to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It talks about renew our mind. The renewal of mind, the transformation of our minds, is what's going to produce a result that will make us more like Jesus. So he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the first thing that allows the mind of Christ to be attuned to allow the expression of his love was humility. It was humility that Jesus, first of all, had to let go of his authority and his power, and he allowed himself to be fashioned just like a man. In other words, if the love of Christ is going to be able to flow through us, the first thing that needs to come is humility. So he humbled himself. Look, if Christ did not humble himself, remember that God is spirit. Christ was spirit. He had lived with God as spirit. Death will have no power over him. There was no way he could have sinned. In other words, he would not have been able to carry the sin of the world. So he had to come down to a level where he was able to bear and contain and hold the sin of the world, even though he himself knew no sin. He had occupied a position of righteousness, a position of truth, a position of holiness, and yet he could see in his inner eye what it was going to be like in order to be able to do the work of redemption. Yet, the Bible said he did what? He humbled himself. He relinquished that position of authority. And you know what? That was why when he came on earth, he needed the infilling of the Holy Spirit to do the things he was going to do. He needed the presence of the Holy Spirit in him to be able to do whatever he was going to do. And of course, he could only be present in one place at a time, at that time. The omnipresent became the unipresent. He would be in just one place at a time. So he left so many things that he could rightly have claimed to be his own, and then came and yielded himself. The mind of Christ that did the work of the love of Christ is the mind of service and the mind of volunteers. There was a big debate in heaven as to who was to go. These people, the creation of my hands, God said, they are dying. They are being destroyed. See what is happening. This is something I said it's good. This is something I declare perfect. This is something I said is so wonderful. After I finished creating them, see how the enemy has sowed tares into the midst of the wheat. Can you see what is happening? Who is going to take up this challenge? Of course, there was no one else worthy. There was no one else willing. Jesus said he would. Jesus said he was willing. And he gave himself to come. The mind that will allow the flow of the love of Christ, because the Bible said, for the love of Christ has been shed abroad, has been poured out into our hearts, is the heart, is the mind of service, is the mind that volunteers. When I started the work that I'm doing right now, the other guy I work with and I, we instructed the staff, we said, look, the default answer should be yes. When there's anything to be done, the default answer should be what? Yes. Oh, there's a patient there who is doing this. Can we have somebody go out, please? Are you free? Yes. Oh, we have this patient that needs transportation to the hospital because this is happening. Oh, can you readjust your diary? Yes. And in no long time. In fact, when we had our end of year planning the other time, one of the things that people said was good about the service is the fact that there were people who are always willing to go the extra mile to help patient, to help somebody, you know. Jesus came with a mind of service, ready to volunteer. There's something also about the mind of Christ that allows him to do the work that he did, that allow his love to flow towards us. Well, that Christ hates sin with a passion. He hates sin with what? With a passion. Like somebody said, he hates sin enough to die. Because he just knows that it's toxic. Not only did he hate sin enough to die, he teaches against sin. I will show us a few things. I will show us a few things. Even if we stop there, I wouldn't mind. First of all, let's look at the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29. That's not where I'm going. But I will just show us this one. He says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, he hates sin with a passion that he had to take sin away because he knew that it was toxic. The Hebrew word for sin is hamartia, which actually in the strict sense of it means to miss the mark. To miss what? To miss the mark. In other words, here is a mark. This is where you ought to hit in order to qualify. And you go this way. Sin is exactly like that. It simply means to miss the mark. In other words, you and I, we have missed the mark until Jesus came. In other words, anyone who has no Christ has missed the mark. Jesus is the straightener that brings one back on the course of one's destiny. That is the essence of his love for us. And the other thing that I want us to quickly look at is this. Let's look at the book of Titus. I've shown some people this before. I told you that Jesus so much hates sin with a passion that he died in order to remove it. That's the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 11 to 14. So that we will no longer be deceived. We will no longer be what? Be deceived. Because there are some people who tell us that when we come into Christ, that, you know, God is so gracious that it doesn't matter how we live. It doesn't matter what we do. That the grace of God simply covers it. So nothing needs to be different. That is not the mind of Christ for us. Praise the Lord. Titus 2, 11 to 14. Let's go. I'll read Amplified Version. It says, for the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward, appeared for the deliverance from what? From sin. The grace of God appeared for what? To do what? To deliver from sin. So once it comes, it delivers one from sin. It doesn't leave you in sin. It delivers you from sin. Now, go on to look at this. And the eternal salvation for all mankind. Look at verse 12. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness. What has trained us? What has trained us? No. What has trained us? What is it? The grace of God has trained us to do what? To reject. To reject. You know what it means to reject? To turn down. To say, look, that is not my choice. That is not what I want. I'm not taking it. But it didn't stop there. And it says, and to do what? And to renounce. There's a difference between rejecting and renouncing. You can say, John, come. Can we have this balloon? I just walk beside you. I will not take it. I reject it. But when I renounce it, I'll say, look, that is, I've told you I don't like yellow color. They just, you know, get on my back. That is renouncing. I don't like yellow color. I told you, never give me yellow color. I prefer green to this. Look, I've told you, please, don't bring it near me. That is renouncing. So we reject. The grace of God has done what? Has taught us to reject and to renounce. In other words, when you see ungodliness, you don't keep quiet. That is not the teaching of the grace of God. The grace of God has not taught you to see sin and keep quiet. The grace of God has not taught you to see ungodliness and he says to reject. So not only will you not do it, you renounce it. Praise the Lord. That is the mind of Christ for us. Is someone being blessed in the house? And worldly passionate desires to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this where? Where? Is it in heaven? Oh, some people will tell us that we can live anyhow and then everything will be perfected in heaven. Some people will even say you will die. If there's uncleanness in you, you go to a place where purgatory and they will purify you first and then take you to heaven. That is not the teaching of the Bible. He said to live what? We live holy where? In this present world. And what is teaching us to do that? It is the grace of God. That is the mind of Christ. Verse 13. Are waiting and looking for the fulfillment, the realization of our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. In other words, when you have the grace of God, that grace of God is the one that teaches you to persevere. Remember, one of the things we look at as the attribute of the love of God is persevering. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He is knocking. He doesn't give up. He keeps knocking. So in the same vein, it causes you to persevere looking for that blessed hope that is to come. That blessed hope is not the car you buy. Is that the hope you got? No. It's not the house you build. It's not the number of children you've got. No. That blessed hope is the hope of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Who gave himself on our behalf that he might redeem us, purchase us, our freedom from all iniquity, and purify for himself a people to be peculiarly his own people who are eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. Have you ever looked at it like this before? Purchase for himself a people that are what? Peculiar. You are peculiar to who? To Christ. Do you know what it means for something to be peculiar? It's different from all the other things. It's not the common thing. So you cannot be a Christian that will be like common person. You are going to be peculiar to Jesus. He said, to be peculiar to him. From all iniquity and purify for himself a people, to be peculiarly his own people, who are, what? Eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. So there will be that eagerness. There will be that eagerness. It's not that somebody is dragging it out of you. It's not that somebody is fighting you for it. There's an eagerness and a willingness to do beneficial deeds. Praise the Lord. I think I will leave it here. That is the mind of Christ, to release his grace upon you and I, that makes us to live to please him. Something about the mind of Christ, as we close, I've told us quarter past, is the mind of Christ is the mind of the kingdom, to build and to defend it. Every child of God, that's our goal. The mind of Christ is the mind with the long-time view. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Look at it. He said, for who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured what? The cross, defiling what? The shame, the ridicule. Have you been ridiculed for the gospel's sake? If you have not been ridiculed for the gospel's sake, you know my message to you, get your hands dirty. Tell your neighbor, say, get your hands dirty. Get your hands dirty. It means you have not been doing the work yet. Get your hands dirty. When you begin to live like somebody who is peculiar to Christ, I'm telling you, you're going to be ridiculed. And of course, the mind that is control of the Holy Spirit and is a mind that reflects God, because it's the mind of God. The mind of Christ is the mind of God. And everyone who has been cloned out of him will have the mind of God. Can we just rise up? The mind of Christ. Can we just begin to thank him? Say, Father, we just thank you for that which you have done. Oh, thank you for that which you have done. We just bless your name, O Lord. Oh, blessed be your name, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because you have a mind. The mind to bless, the mind to serve, the mind of God, the mind that is in one accord with the Lord, with God. Thank you, because we can have the same mind that will just, because we should be naturally flowing from you. Yes, Lord, for the Spirit of God has shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. You've poured out your love in our hearts. Oh, we just bless you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We can see the essence, oh Lord. We can see the essence of the coming of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. My Father, my God, even as we have heard about your mind this morning, every one of us who will walk out of this place will live and dream and fulfill your mind and that which you have proposed for the world in the mighty name of Jesus. Like Jesus walked, he said, I will walk the walk of my Father while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can walk. We will walk the walk of you in the mighty name of Jesus. We are going to be victorious. I say we'll be victorious in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Amen. Can we share the grace in fellowship?